Union ay kumikita rin sa palitan ng pera.
Due to unforeseen difficulties, this program maker is not available now, so we pause for a musical break.
Hapon po mga kababayan, muli, magandang hapon po mga kababayan, muli narito po kami at inyong makakapiling dito sa Mutsaring Philippine Cultural Radio Program, broadcasting from 104.6 Planet FM. Today is a very special day for the Filipinos, not only in New Zealand but all over the world, because our Independence Day, which should have been on the 12th of June, normally, we celebrate it on the weekends, as a lot of people can attend. So today is the 125th celebration of the anniversary of Declaration of Independence, Philippine Independence from Spain, being celebrated here in Auckland, New Zealand. Yesterday was another day, another celebration in another form, but let me concentrate on today first. Today, we had the rest laying at the Rizal Reserve, wherein we have a memorial put up for our national hero, Dr. Jose Rizal, being a landmark of the Filipino immigrants here in New Zealand, but mainly Auckland. This is open for all Aucklanders, New Zealanders of Filipino descent, and even others, other ethnic groups who are now Kiwis and who are one with us in emulating the ideals of our Dr. Jose P. Rizal, the national hero of the Philippines. We have prepared a little bit, but will be great in the end for today. And because we have very special guests, but let us greet you first from Samutsari Philippine Cultural Program. I have got Shine.
Hello. Magandang hapon po. I'm back again. Resident millennial in the building.
That is Shine.
Beltran po.
Beltran?
Beltran. Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm a student at Auckland Uni, and I just come in and I help Tita Virgie out on the radios now.
And she is of Bicolano.
Yes. Yes, my parents are from
ancestor, ancestors.
Apa.
We have... Manang Trini, where are you? Yeah. So we have got special guests today. Firstly, we have Manang Norms from Dakatilingbang, Bisaya, sa New Zealand. Come on, Manang Norms. You greet everyone.
Yeah. Magandang hapon po. My name is Norma, and I'm just here as a visitor from... Yeah. And I live in New Zealand for 40 years. Thank you.
40 years. There you are. And very soon, she is volunteering to Samutsari. And of course, we have one of the historians in New Zealand, a Bicolano-born guy who had been inspirational to all our fellow Kiwis here, not only in Auckland, but all over New Zealand, because of his ability not only to write poems about Rizal, about our national heritage, about our country, but in philosophy, history, and a lot more. He will share with us a lot about not only Rizal, but of the Philippines and our heritage. May we present Roy Bukiron.
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat at thank you very much, Tita Birds. Marami pong salamat, dagang salamat. We are celebrating the 121st Philippine Independence Day from Spain. We had been colonized for 333 years, but also dual celebration in celebrating the 158th birthday of our national hero, Dr. Jose Rizal.
So he would have been how many years old now if he is alive?
158.
Wow, 158 years old. Can you survive that, Manang Trini? And take the opportunity to greet everyone as well.
Yes, maing hapon ganinyong tanan. Ang question ni Tita Verge, ha? Mag-survive daw ako niyan? I don't think so.
158 years.
I will try as much as 100, but that's all I can promise. Yes, magandang hapon po sa inyong lahat. Sorry po, na-late ako. Ayan.
Go ahead, Sir Roy.
So, one of the things that I would like to discuss, Tita Virgie, is the history of the Philippines. And unknown to a lot of people, if you talk to Filipinos, a majority would know the history of the Philippines post-1521.
Yes.
After Magellan discovered...
Rediscovered.
Rediscovered the Philippines on... history book, it says March 16, 1521. Mm-hmm. But because we have to add one day when he crossed the international date line.
That's right.
So theoretically, it should be March 17, 1521. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then we can say and confidently that the history recorded was just after 1521. Mm-hmm. But one of my research, and this, my sources... are varied, and one of them is Dr. O.D. Corpus. Mm-hmm. And he did his doctorate. He read in history in Oxford University. And what I love about it in that book is he talks about the ancient Filipinos. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Philippines was part of the so-called Isri Bijaya Empire. Mm-hmm. Isri Bijaya Empire started in 200 CE, Common Era, up to about 1000 CE. So for about 800 years, this, they call it Thalassocracy. And Thalassocracy in Greek meaning the running the government by a seaborne empire. Because the seaborne empire, it comprised, and you'll be amazed that we are now celebrating like ASEAN. We are part of the ASEAN,
yes.
Association of Southeast Asian Nations.
Yeah.
But way back in 200 CE up to 1000 CE, we Philippines is already part of Malaysia, Indonesia, Burma, Thailand, Brunei Darussalam, and all these Southeast Asian countries through this civilization that started at Palembang in Indonesia. And this is the Isri Bijaya Empire. So if you would ask me, for instance, the Isri Bijaya Empire conquered the Philippines. That's why we probably be Buddhist, Buddhist or Hindu, because of this Isri Bijaya Empire. And the word Bijaya is very close to Bisaya.
Bisaya.
So when we say the Philippines is made of Luzon, Bisayas, in Mindanao, Bisayas, the word...
It's the prominent one.
Very, very prominent. They were part of the Isri Bijaya. The word BJ or BJ is from, what I call this, is from the Isri Bijaya Empire. So then after that, the Majapahit Empire came over for more than 200 years. But it was the Isri Vijaya Empire that I'd like to emphasize. And emphasize because the Philippines were actually trading. We were traders. We trade with the Arabs. We trade with the Indians. We trade with China. We trade with other countries of the world. So the ancient Filipinos were actually mariners. We are seafarers. And it is no accident. If you look at the current population of seamen or sea women, the people that are working in cruise ships or around the world, you will be surprised.
A few of them will be Filipinos.
No, not a few. 25%. 25% of all those seafaring men and women are of Filipino descent. Amazing. Why? It is our skills.
Yes. Little ones, you better listen carefully because this is Philippine history.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And you mentioned about that seafaring one. Yes, I am very proud to say that there was this sea voyager for the resident owners or its room is $3 million, I think, or so, if I can remember. $1 million. A room in the big sea vessel. It is called World Resident Sea, S-E-A, World Resident Sea. Each of the rooms or cabins is owned by millionaires who want to sail around the world and live there, etc. They docked here in Auckland for 2 weeks, and most of the workers in the vessel are Filipinos, especially in the kitchen and the band. So that proves that Filipinos are sea mariners.
Yeah. And during the Spanish times, we were, of course, colonized by the Spaniards for 333 years. And but within that period, we were actually trading with Mexico in the galleon trade. And that lasted for 250 years. And it ended in 1815. So, you know, that's a lot of years experience where on our way here, for instance, I was eating, Gina gave me this pili nuts, which, you know, come from Bicol. And the pili nuts, the history of that, it was brought by the Spaniards with Filipino seafarers in the boats, in the galleon trade. And brought from Mexico, and they planted those pili, but they chose Bicol for that. So that's very interesting that the galleon trade lasted for 250 years, and we were part of that history. And I could talked on and on. The galleon trades, for instance, the Bicolanos from Sorsogon, they are boat builders. There are modern research now with Philippine archaeologists found that the Pantalan in all these different boat-making activities done in Sorsogon because of the special tree, kind of tree that, that they found in Sorsogon is good to be carved into the
boat. Into the boat, the hull
so,
of the boat.
So that was very interesting when I found out in my research. So beautiful history, the Philippines.
Excuse me, Putita. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Because I study history as well, and I try to do as much learning as I can about Philippine history. But I study Latin American studies at university, and I've always thought that there was something very connected between, you know, the indigenous people and the people of South America and the Philippines. So I was wondering if there's like any more, you know, like the very similar language, like a lot of apparently because Spain was so far away, Mexico was used as a halfway point to rule the Philippines. So because of that, and I'm assuming because of the trade as well, a lot of the language made its way from Mexico to the Philippines, and I'm just wondering if that's true.
Well, very interesting, Cheyenne. That's a very good question. When we talk about history, we talk about extant manuscripts. When you do research and all that, there should be an extant manuscript that will be used as a document to prove your research. But that's just one. With modern technology, we can use a lot of things. Like there are areas of research in archaeology. Why I'm mentioning archaeology is because archaeology starts where history ends. Where you can find extant manuscripts or documents, then you have to rely on the fossils and all those extant bones or whatever to recreate the story of a culture. So then you go to archaeology, right? But that's one. So if you are talking about modern crime, for instance, it's totally relevant, but I will make my point. Do you have a crime scene and you got a forensics? You call the forensics. So you will see who was here because nobody have witnessed the event. But if it was someone whose fingerprint was left behind, then or a DNA, for instance, then you can target and see some conclusions that that was that person indeed do the crime. So in similar vein, for historical research, they use some of this in terms of forensics. Now, how they use it is through some aerial spatial technology with scanning. Then they can use and measure some stuff around the weight on, you know, all these relics. And that cannot be seen by the naked eye. But you have a over aerial phenomena or aerial view, then you can. So that's one, through forensics and forensic science, which got into archaeology now. Another one is very interesting that in my research is about languages. With languages, and I'll answer your point, Shine. In languages, you can use your forensics by analyzing the origin or etymological derivation of words, and from there you're able to see which part or where the root cause of this language. I'll give you one example: the link between Philippines and I'll be direct on the Latin American. Is the word kamote. So the word kamote is, we in New Zealand, we call kumara. I love kumara. My partner knows I love kumara. But in Philippines, we call kamote. Now, in the Aztec or old Indian language, they call it kamutel. Kamutel. So kamutel and kamote, and they're the same. It's kumara. But if you study the forensics in languages, in linguistics, you will know that the American Indians or the Aztecs or the Mayan Indians or the Latin
Mexico,
Americans, they love kamutel, and perhaps when one of those trade or seafaring transfers or voyage, they brought the Kamote to the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So there are circumstantial and indirect way of proving certain history of culture by examining the languages. So that's just one example. Yeah, and I'm sure in your research you will come up with a lot.
Thank you very much.
I have another word, but this came from the Indian ones, the achar, and the Filipinos is achara.
Yeah.
The so, pecan papaya.
Yeah. So that one is when you ask Filipinos, they say, "Oh, achara, it's the, you know, sour or what they call it,
vinaigrette."
But the word achar is actually is from India.
Yeah.
It's from India. So. This, because as I mentioned earlier, the Filipinos have traded with Indians, and they somehow this food has came to our Filipino culture, and we call it achara. But the origin is not Spanish. Okay. Another one is the beef stew. What what do you call a beef stew?
Adobo.
No.
Kalirita.
No. With vegetable. With vegetables.
Nilaga.
So with beef stew with oxtail. So what do you call this?
Kare-kare.
Yeah. Now we call it kare-kare. Now what is kare-kare? So it's oxtail, very Filipino, and then with beef with vegetable. Now you use peanut sauce. Now the origin is from kare-kare. Is curry. and you use satay sauce.
Yeah.
Right? So we Filipinized it. And because of that trade that were happening between India and Philippines in ancient times, we tried to Filipinize it and invented our own kare-kare. But that's curry. Satay sauce. Oh, yeah. You know, the satay sauce we uses satay sauce. Peanut sauce. So if I may add to what I have said earlier, Shai, that true forensics of examining languages or archaeology, then we can also add food.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let us pause for a break and we will get back to Sir Roy. Let us do our, what do we have, Marang Trini? Our music.
Nakikita
Here's our special offers from our Planet Earth Travel. Cathay Pacific, Manila, Cebu, Clark, or Davao return from $949. Fly from Auckland to Christchurch to Manila, Cebu, Clark, or Davao, Philippines. Ang sales po nito ending on the 6th of December 2019. So ang departures po is ngayon na hanggang 30th of November. And then next year from 7th of January to the 31st of March 2020. Ang routing po nito, if you're coming from Auckland to Manila, Cebu, Clark, or Davao, and vice versa, will be via Hong Kong. Kung kayo naman po'y manggaling Christchurch to Manila, Cebu, Clark, or Davao, that will be via Sydney and Hong Kong. Make sure po na alam nyo na ito po ay talagang strictly seasonality lang po ito, and of course availability po sa seats. So kaya magmadali na po kayo at tatawag kayo sa ating Planet Earth Travel. Ang fare po na ito, including na po dito ang meals, entertainment, at saka 30 kgs check-in baggage, and of course hand carry na 7 kilos din po. Ticketing po nito is within 24 hours. Of course, there's terms and conditions apply. My child infant fare po ang routing na ito or ang booking na to. Book now po kayo sa through Planet Earth Travel's online booking form, or email them at reservations@planettravel.co.nz or call on 0800 11 11 31. During business hours lang po yan, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Ayan.
And that is only New Zealand dollars, 949.
Okay. Yes. Yep. And our other Planet Earth Travel special is Qantas for a short time only. Manila return from 799 New Zealand dollars from Auckland, Christchurch, or Wellington. And that's this sale ends the 24th of June 2019. The travel period per departure airport from Auckland to Manila is between 17th of June to 23rd of June 2019, 11th of July to 26th of September 2019, 16th of October to 11th of December 2019, and 14th of January to the 3rd of April 2020. Christchurch to Manila is the 1st of July to the 26th of September, 2nd of October to the 26th of November, the 6th of February to the 3rd of April 2020. And Wellington to Manila is the 11th of July to the 26th of September, 7th of October to 21st of November, and 28th of January to the 3rd of April 2020. And a maximum stay of 12 months. Now, this is inclusive of fuel taxes and applicable airport departure taxes. This fare includes meals, entertainment, 30 kg check-in baggage, and 7 kg hand carry. Departure from domestic domestic ports around New Zealand will have an additional cost, so make sure to inquire about that. A weekend surcharge of 20 New Zealand dollars applies for outbound travel. Seats are strictly subject to availability. Terms and conditions will apply. One stopover is permitted in each direction at NZ at 100 New Zealand dollars per person. An accompanied child between the ages of 2 and 11 is 75% of the adult fare plus applicable taxes. An infant without the seat, that means under 2 years old, is 10% of the adult fare plus applicable taxes. You can book now through Planet Earth Travel's online booking form or email reservations@planettravel.co.nz or call on 0800 11 11 31. Again, during business hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
And how much is that again, Shine?
$799.
You can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. That's quite good.
Yeah.
That's quite good fare. Thank you po, Tita Edith. Maraming salamat sa mga espesyal mong sinishare sa ating mga kababayan, of course.
And now, nandito po ang ating Bulilit News.
Yes, magbulilit news po tayo. Come here, Bailey.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Bailey Oviedo, and I'm going to be one of your Bulilit News. What is bullying? Bullying is when a person or group deliberately tries to make someone else feel upset, scared, or ashamed. Types of bullying. Physically bullying means harming or intimidating someone physically. Verbal bullying means taunting or hurtful teasing. Mental bullying means leaving someone out or saying bad things so others will think less of them. Cyberbullying. means using online and mobile technology to harm someone emotionally and socially. What can you do? Skill 1, act with awareness, calm, respect, and confidence. Skill 2, lead in a powerful, positive way. Skill 3, set boundaries about disrespectful or unsafe behavior. And the last skill, skill 4, use your voice.
Yes. Totoo yan.
At have we get another one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ang dadagdagan po yan ng isa pang bulili reporter natin. Here we go.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kira Mayan Oviedo, or Kira for short. One of your Bulilit News reporters, thank you for supporting our Filipino radio program. Fact, discs are among the most germ. Kids miss heaps of days off from school when they get sick due to spreading of germs. Discs are among the most germ-prone items any hand sanitizer will do. Use a 24-hour hand sanitizer. Fact, germs can affect kids outside the classroom. Myth, sticking things in your mouth is child's play. All items carry germs. Fact, backpacks carry more than just books. Backpacks go everywhere, to classrooms, inside lockers, in the cafeteria, and locker rooms, and collect various germs. Thought out the day. Sharing is always caring. No items such as pen lids carry germs from kids chewing on them.
Yan, and that's our Bulili News. Nahihiya pa po ang mga ito. Of course, first time po nila ito. And you, well done, kids. Well done, Bay, and well done, Kira May. Mm.
And babalik po tayo sa ating historical features from our Sir Roy Bukiron of the Order of Knights of Rizal, Auckland Chapter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sir Roy?
So what would you like to ask me, Tita Virgie? I can talk historical.
You can talk
bits.
Forever. Ano ba bang gusto nating history malaman? Oh, actually, Father's Day ngayon sa Philippines. Happy Father's Day pala sa
in
mga
the Philippines.
In the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Happy Father's Day sa mga Filipino fathers in the Philippines. And of course, if you are here and you also celebrate the Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to my Papa Toto, of course. Mm-hmm. And happy Father's Day
to you,
sir.
Happy Father's Day.
And to my son, Jay. Mm-hmm. Yes, happy Father's Day. And to my loved one, of course. Yeah.
Happy Father's Day to all my brothers who are fathers. And my son who is a father now.
Yeah.
Eric, happy Father's Day.
Yes.
And all my nephews who are fathers. And you, Shine, greet your dad.
Happy Father's Day to my dad and to my Lolo as well in the Philippines.
Yes, of course.
Yes, and all of my uncles as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, your dad is in Brazil.
He is. Yes.
And speaking of Father's Day, meron ka bang i-share dyan, Kuya? About Sir Roy, about Father's Day sa atin. Bakit tayo nagsiselebrate ng Father's Day sa atin? Saan galing po yan?
I haven't delved much into it, but I think it's very important when we talk about family and father is very, very, what I call this is philosophically very important to understand. Mm-hmm. And honoring the father and all the fathers in the world is so important, mm-hmm. and also mm-hmm. important to honor the moms. So, you know, these are very important milestones in the lives of people around the world. So, but I can talk more about the fatherland.
About the fatherland.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, the Philippine independence was granted by Spain, you know, when we had our, what I call this, we tried to fight the Spanish for 333 years, to be exact. Mm-hmm. And then on June 12th,
1898.
That's when we celebrated independence, when they raised the flag in Cavite, Cavite. But what ended the rule, so there will be a little bit of history prior to our raising that flag. And this happened on December 10, 1898. On December 10, 1898, this is the so-called Treaty of Paris. So on Treaty of Paris, December 10, 1898, it ended the Spanish rules in the Philippines. Why? Because there was a war between America, which was an emerging power at the time, and then war with Spain. And then a lot of, if you go to California, a lot of them Los Angeles. It's pronounced in Spanish. You know, there are a lot of them that were colonized by Spain. So Spain was truly entrenched in the western part of the United States and also on the east, like Florida.
Yes.
It means flowers in Spanish. Puerto Rico.
Yes.
It's a very rich port, which is in Spanish. So all of this conquered by Spain. But because there was a Spanish-American war and they fought it in Manila Bay.
Yes.
Admiral Montojo fought with Admiral Dewey from the U.S. Naval
fleet.
Fleet. And they defeated Admiral Montojo. So that was the surrender
of Spain.
And they, you know, ended up giving away.
Relinquishing the rights to the Philippines.
No, no, yes. But we were sold for like $7.2
million
to the Americans.
Yes,
we were ceded. We were ceded. We were sold. So at the time, we thought that the Americans will be freeing us from the bondage of Spain. Or so we thought. And this is, I'm talking about Emilio Aguinaldo and his cohorts.
Yes.
But actually, this newcomers, the Americans, were there to
colonizing us again.
Colonizing us for the second time around.
Yeah.
And that's very, very important part. So it ended on December 10, 1898. And then after that, during that year, we also raised our flag in Cavite, Cavite because they thought that, you know, they are going away. But then after the Americans, after the Spaniards were booted out, and then Spain came. And then we have very interesting history around that part, which I can talk about. And one of them is that not all Filipinos know or aware that General Douglas MacArthur actually lived as a boy in the Philippines, in Manila. And the reason for that is Dad, General Arthur MacArthur, was the third governor general, military governor general.
Of the Philippines?
No. Of the Philippines. From America, he was sent to govern the Philippine Islands by the Americans. And so he was there, and he brought his son, Douglas MacArthur, and he had his yaya, his caregiver.
Caregiver.
And so Douglas MacArthur loved the Philippines so much. And then fast forward, MacArthur became general of the U.S. Army. Right. So that's, and then I'll first pass forward the history a bit, and I bring you to 1930s. So that was in early 1900 when he was a boy. In 1930s, General Douglas MacArthur already retired. He's retired from the army. And then our president then was the Commonwealth President, Manuel Luis Quezon. And what Manuel Luis Quezon did is he invited General Douglas MacArthur, come to the Philippines and I will make you the first field marshal of the Philippine Army. So he was tasked to train the Philippine Army. So this was in the 1930s, 1936 to be exact. Why? Because in 1934 in the U.S. Congress, there was a law passed in the U.S. Congress, the Tidings-McDuffie Law.
The Tidings-McDuffie
Law provided for a 10-year transition period from 1936 to 1946, wherein after the 10-year period, they will give away the Philippines back to their own. As promised by the Americans. So there is a law passed in the U.S. Congress. So in 1936, at the start of the Commonwealth, he hired Field Marshal Douglas MacArthur. Now, here's the another bits and piece of history. He had an aide-de-camp. His alalay. You know who was the alalay of Douglas MacArthur?
No.
General Dwight Eisenhower. General Dwight Eisenhower stayed in work in the Philippines for 3 years. So when he was asked, I was reading his biography, and he was asked, hey, President, because later on he became President of the United States from 1952 to 1960. Yeah. But before that, he was the alalay. He was the aide-de-camp to General Douglas MacArthur. So he was asked, what did you learn from General Douglas while you were in the Philippines? You know what he said? I learned melodramatics for 3 years.
Melodramatics.
So, and on that note, as you know, the Second World War came, and the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor on December 8, 1941. And so, MacArthur and General Eisenhower were fully recalled by the U.S. Army. So he was promoted as 5-star general, General Douglas MacArthur. And then General Eisenhower was promoted to 5-star general. Both served well in their career, but General Dwight Eisenhower became the supreme Allied commander for Europe, fighting Adolf Hitler, and Douglas MacArthur became the supreme Allied commander in the Pacific, fighting the Japanese. And then, of course, you know that he came back, and I Shall Return, the famous I Shall Return, from Douglas MacArthur. So there you go. That's bits and pieces of Philippine history and how they are connected to the Philippines.
Nice.
At this point, I would like to share a song about the Philippines that was composed by a fellow knight of Sir Roy. This is from Sir Murray Heasley. This is a song patterned after the tune of Pokare Kareana, but he wrote this in 4 languages. The first line is English, second line is Tagalog, third line is Spanish, and last line, the fourth line, is Maori. There are 2 verses so far. He is on the third verse already. I am very ecstatic to share it with you. Manang Norma, plus help me how to sing this.
Well, I can sing.
All right.
I don't know how to sing.
It's but in the tune of Roy. Tune of Pokare Kareana. Yeah. This is a time for leaders. Mga kapatid ngayon, todos juntos mis hermanos, Maraakiana Knights of Rizal, kabutihan, corazon puro, Kiahuatepay. Another day, when this is, when there are already 3 verses, we will share it with you again. Yes. And we already have got a plan. The Order of the Knights of Rizal, the Auckland chapter, and CAPO, the Council of Auckland Philippine Organizations, we will come up with a recorded song of this, professionally done. So we can share it with everyone. There will be violin, guitar, whatever Filipino instrument we can have, and maybe even a Maori instrument or Spanish instrument and a Kiwi instrument. So, because this is now sort of the theme song of the Rizalistas or the Knights of Rizal. We have one chapter here in Auckland. We have one chapter in Wellington. And are we still aligned with Sydney?
Yes, yes, we are. We are under Area 3.
Area 3, of Area which 3. Our ambassador, Gary Domingo, is the
Area Commander.
In Auckland, the Area Commander, the Knight
Commander.
Knight Commander is Sir Sam Dignadise. He was the second president of CAPO, or the Council of Auckland Philippine Organizations. I was the first president in 2002 when it was founded. And a few, almost all of you are represented there. Mm-hmm. Shine is the daughter of Rio, Sir Rio Beltran, who is a knight as well. Mm-hmm. Manang Trini, you are a member of the Samut Sari Philippine Cultural Society. We are one of the members of CAPO, mm-hmm. original. Manang Norma is member of the Katilingbang Bisaya sa New Zealand, which is also one of the original members of CAPO. And Lady Susan, she is now the lady of Sir Roy. She is one of the supporters of CAPO.
Yes.
Ayan. Have you got something?
Yes, we can do our quick greetings now, Tita Verge, because I think we will be running out of time.
Sure. We still have got 15
have
minutes.
A few minutes.
We can continue, Sir Roy.
Yes.
About Rizal.
Yes.
Yeah. As we all know, he is now 158 years old. Sir Roy will live 258
wow,
years.
Yes.
With Lady Suzanne on his side.
All right. So, Dr. Jose Rizal is very, he's a polymath.
Mm-hmm.
And as a polymath, he studied a lot. He's an expert in so many things. He studied medicine, as you know. Mm-hmm. He's fluent in 22 languages. Mm-hmm. 22 languages.
22 languages.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. In, when he was called upon to speak in Germany, he spoke in fluent German.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he was very fluent in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
As the lingua franca, mm-hmm. or I would say the lingua española at the time. it was, what they call this, Spain is very much the power that be, and all the while he was trying. At first, he was trying to fight for representation to the Spanish Cortes,
mm-hmm.
and he was not, agitating for a struggle, an armed struggle,
mm-hmm.
and so people will thought that the Philippine national hero should be Andres Bonifacio.
Mm-hmm.
I love and respect Andres Bonifacio. But Rizal is more of the Edward Bulwer Lytton's philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Bulwer Lytton said, "A pen is mightier than a sword."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because you can fight someone with a gun or mm-hmm. knife, but it is in the realms of the mind, in mm-hmm. thoughts, in ideas.
That you win.
That mm-hmm. you can win the hearts and minds of people,
mm-hmm.
not just subjugating them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read history, for instance, I am very careful because I know that history is the story of the victors.
Mm-hmm.
I will repeat mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm.
History is basically the story of the victors.
Yes.
Whoever won the fight, they will be able to write
yes.
everything that they wanted because they won the fight.
Yes.
And now,
forgetting why, the actual history of what really happened.
That's why I'm very careful, mm-hmm. Tita Verge. When mm-hmm. I read history, I read the mainstream, but I mm-hmm. also read the alternative. Mm-hmm. They call it alternative history.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking
you try
is
to
balance,
mm-hmm. yeah, and see what are the perspective of the one that were vanquished,
mm-hmm.
for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read, then you got a balanced view because you were not there to understand mm-hmm. The themes, the common mm-hmm. themes, and what were the background behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So Jose Rizal is very important at the time mm-hmm. of, in the 1800
mm-hmm.
and closer to the time that when we become independent from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And his
mm-hmm.
writings... as what the ambassador said to us, mm-hmm. His Excellency Sir Gary Domingo, he wrote the two novels,
Noli Tangere and El
Filibusterismo.
Mm-hmm.
But it is known that Rizal wrote a third novel, it's called Makamisa.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was an unfinished book. Mm-hmm. because of his untimely death. Mm-hmm. But what the ambassador's message this morning, for instance, mm-hmm. he was saying that we are Rizal stirred noble. Mm-hmm. We are. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Filipinos, we are all over the world. Mm-hmm. What you do, I can talk about New Zealand and how our how the Filipinos are contributing to the mm-hmm. society mm-hmm. in the IT industry, mm-hmm. in the education industry, in the manufacturing and mm-hmm. Industry, and in health, mm-hmm. Where Lady mm-hmm. Susan work with mm-hmm. The district health board. Mm-hmm. So it helps a lot of people, you know, and a lot of Philippine nurses and doctors mm-hmm. are working mm-hmm. through that. So it is time and fitting to give that reference in mm-hmm. terms of what Rizal would be thinking about us, knowing that a lot mm-hmm. of Filipinos, 60,000 of them in Aotearoa, mm-hmm. and about mm-hmm. quarter of a million of them in Australia, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and more than a million of them in America, mm-hmm. and all over the world, mm-hmm. and they are contributing to the world peace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think Filipino history is quite underrepresented in a lot of world history, because Filipino history has touched so many different parts. You know, when we learn about the colonization and of the New World, for example, the Philippines as a mm-hmm. colony of Spain also gets left out despite it being mm-hmm. around the same time. Mm-hmm. And then also the way that, you know, we get kind of left out of the whole, the narratives of the world wars as well. But I think it's really important that if even like a small number of people still remember mm-hmm. why mm-hmm. Filipino history is important and mm-hmm. why, you know, what we've contributed to the, you know, to society, I think that's mm-hmm. the best. That's mm-hmm. the best thing that we can really do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We are the third chapter of Rizal's writing.
Yeah.
And as Rizal is an internationalist, a lot of us Filipinos overseas are also becoming to be internationalists ourselves. Isn't it, Sir Roy?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And wherever I travel, I always meet somehow Filipinos. And there, it is very good to see that people are, you know, helping out not only in that local mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. Where I went to this international conference for the Knights of Rizal in Sydney in November mm-hmm. with Lady Susan and the ambassador, we met some lady mm-hmm. Rizals from member of the Kababaihan mm-hmm. From Modena in Italy.
Wow.
And they mm-hmm. you know, they came in full force and mm-hmm. they told us about the activities that they do mm-hmm. very much so in their local, part of Italy. Mm-hmm. So that's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. 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 And you can mm-hmm. find all of these. You can do like the scavenger hunt around Europe as well, the Rizal scavenger hunt around mm-hmm. Europe, and find all of the different monuments or the plaque of mm-hmm. Rizal mm-hmm. stayed here and during his time mm-hmm. in Europe. So I'll make sure to do that the next time I go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did that when I traveled Europe for 6 months while trying to find how to become come back to New Zealand and become a permanent resident. So I went to Germany and I went to the house where Rizal stayed. That's in Heidelberg. He studied at the University of Heidelberg, mm. but he lived in a house in Wilhelmsfeld, yes. and he has a monument there. Mm. And I had a photograph of that, but unfortunately, it was I lost that in my house in a house fire in 2006. Mm. But that house was now donated by the German government to the Filipinos around the world as some sort of library for whatever they found from during the stay of Rizal there. So he has got inside the house also a little monument where he was writing with a pen, the pluma,
the feather.
Mm. Used in writing. But outside the house is a big monument.
Oh, we should visit that
mm-hmm.
one day.
Now, what have you got that, Sir Roy?
So, Rizal being my idol, mm-hmm. and I've been a closet poet for mm-hmm. many, many years, mm-hmm. just trying to hone and perfect my craft of poetry. Mm-hmm. And as a poet, I have read far and wide, but I also am, you know, writing poetry myself. Mm-hmm. So I just would like to share this this afternoon, which Tita Virge asked me this morning. At I have read at the Rizal Reserves today. And this is about the fight between the hearts and minds. And as we know, Dr. Jose Rizal have had a few ladies in his life. And but girlfriends, if you may. But what happened is that he his love for his motherland, for his country,
is dominant.
Is far more dominant, and and his love transcended all the love he had for the ladies in his life. So I'm just trying to put that in context so that when I read the this poetry, you will understand the meaning of where I'm coming from. So the title of the poem is "The Battle That the Night Fought." The battle the night fought. The sunny afternoon was beauteous. The drops of rain that fell was almost religious. The peace that dawned was providential. The afternoon's aura was tangential. The night was plodding home to rest. The day was done and he did his best, looking forward for a great time to meet with her lady in his prime. Inside the kingdom of the night, a battle was raging for the whole night. It was a classic battle between the minds of the night and the poet who is kind. The battle of the mind versus the heart. A furious battle between old foes apart. The mind soldiers were analytical. The heart's cohorts were singing lyrical. The mind's battle formation was strategic. The weapons that made them fearsome was logic. The mind's prowess was intellectually sound. The elements of its plans were profound. Whilst the heart's greatest weapon was love, yawned from heaven and made from above, the lore of love since the days ancient, that's how the love so kind became proficient. The battle on the field rages on and on. It went to the darkest night and the moon came out with a light shining brightly into spear. The moonlight shimmered into the atmosphere. The logical mind versus the kindest seal. The fight between protagonists were real. The vitriolic attack from the armies of the realms was repeated by the loving chimes of the psalms. The battle of the mind and the heart will continue. The fight is endless, like sprouting mildew. The lady helped the knight navigate the murky waters of doubt to the golden gate, helping the knight win his internal battle. The ghost that consumed the knight to rattle, the lady was there for the knight to inspire, to keep his fight, to rekindle his burning desire.
Woohoo! Thank you very, very much, Sir Roy. That's really, really very interesting and very inspiring. Malapit na pong matapos ang isang oras namin pakikipagnig sa inyo. Kaya magandang gabi po sa inyong lahat.
Yes, magandang gabi po at salamat sa palagi niyong pagsunod sa ating programa sa radyo. Ako si Manang Trini.
Mm-hmm. And thank you to everybody who's listening. This is me, Shine, talking.
Yeah, magandang gabi po sa lahat at saka ito na. Paalam na sa iyo lahat.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Tita Virge. Another opportunity to share this afternoon about Dr. Jose Rizal and the Knights of Rizal. And of course, our Philippine independence from Spain.
Mabuhay tayong lahat. Maligayang kalayaan po at maligayang kaarawan sa ating national hero, Dr. Jose P. Rizal. June 19 po, actually, ang kanyang birthday.
Thank you.
everyone.